Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Dr. John Stamey, and we are doing a special live podcast for the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference with Robin McCray Haynes, and she is one of the great Bigfoot experiencers that I know. So, Robin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Really glad to be here.
We are so glad to have you here. So what we would like for you to do is tell us a little bit about your experiences with Bigfoot. So I'm going to turn the floor over to you.
Okay. Well, they started when I was actually quite small. By the time I was four, when I would go outside to play, they generally would go in the tree line. My mom talks about, you know, when I was younger than that, talking about them to her, about this big hairy man that was taller than my dad that I used to tell her all about all the time. So I think I don't really ever remember when they weren't there. Everywhere I've moved, different ones show up, and it's just always been a part of my life. It continues today. You know, at one point I lived at a house where the encounters were daily. That you would see them, you know, walking uncloaked all around the yard, or, you know, they would be tapping on windows. It got to the point where every night at 2 o'clock, they would go outside my bedroom window and knock on the house and slap on the house. And I would literally go out and sit with them. I was the one that was a crazy person that was out there in their pajamas, no flashlight, no weapons, no nothing. And I'd be sitting either on my front porch or out in the yard or in the woods on a log, and they would be walking all around and chattering and doing things. And so when they couldn't get to me, like if I fell asleep, heaven forbid, I sleep, you know, before 2 o'clock, they would actually, if they couldn't get my attention, they'd go to my kids' rooms and they would pound on the walls of the kids' rooms. And then the kids would come and wake me up and say, "Mom, will you just go outside with them? We've got school tomorrow. We just want to be able to sleep." So when I moved away from Michigan, it just continued. It's not any different where I'm at now. I recently was sick, and the whole time I was sick, they were pounding on my bedroom window. They were tapping on the windows, or I would wake up and they, you know, I'd see a face in the window, or they would be chattering outside the window. So yeah, it's just been ongoing. It's never been a time where it wasn't active. I actually had one time, in Shiawassee County in Michigan, where I had put a 50-pound bag of dog food on my back porch. And I knew they were around, but I hadn't planned on being gone that long. It was broad daylight. And I've always lived in rural areas. I'm not a city girl at all. I don't mind going into the city. I will never live in the city. And I left, and I think I had taken my kids over to my mom's house. They were going to go over there and spend the night. And it was during the day that I left. And I, like I said, I had this big 50-pound bag of dog food on the back porch, and it had never been opened. And so I left. I dropped the children off. I came back home, walked around the back on my back porch, and I, you know, I'm not really good at locking my doors back then. I do now, but I never locked a door. I don't even think I had a house key at that point because I just never locked it. I've always had umpteen dogs. You know, I've got the best alarm system on the planet. And plus I have Bigfoots running around, so I was always fairly safe. And I walked around to the back porch, and the bag of dog food looked like somebody took a machete to it. And it was just shredded. There was not one piece of kibble under the porch because it was a deck, or on the deck. It was just like it evaporated. Not even a crumb was there. And I went to go in my sliding door, and the sliding door was actually open about a foot. And I had two dogs at the time. I had an Irish setter and a chocolate lab. And I walked in, and when you went through that sliding door, you went into your dining room. I had a large number of children, and they all loved to rock in their chairs. So I decided I was going to fix their butts, and I bought a 300-something pound pine picnic table. It took three adult men to get it in because it was so heavy. And I used that as a dining room table, and the kids couldn't rock in the chairs anymore and fall over and get hurt. And that table was not only moved, it was pushed all the way to my living room. And the only reason it didn't go into the living room was because the opening into the living room was smaller than the length of the table, but it had been turned and pushed all the way back there. The carpet had been pulled all the way up from the dining room all the way to the living room. And the kitchen was just absolutely destroyed. And big muddy footprints everywhere. I didn't see the dogs when I first came in, and, of course, that was my big concern. And I'm running through the house calling them, and I found them inside my bedroom closet shaking like a leaf, hiding. And I thought they weren't hurt at all, but they were terrified. And the only place they were hurt was on their paws. And it looked like to me when it was outside, and I know it was one of the Bigfoots only because of the footprint, muddy prints that were left in the house, but it looked to me like when it was going after the dog food on the porch, the dogs that were in the house were probably digging at the carpet, and it looked like they had cut their paws on the tack board that was along the wall. But they didn't pull that. There's no way those dogs pulled that carpet back like 15 feet to the living room. There's just absolutely no way. It was pulled, the whole carpet in the dining area was pulled back past the hallway and pushed up like a ball up against the wall where the living room started. And then when you went into the kitchen, the microwave was on the floor. The cupboards were open and things were out. The refrigerator door was open and some things were knocked around. The freezer door wasn't, which, because I had the freezer on top, I thought that was quite odd. But, you know, there was like muddy handprints on the counters. Everything that was on the countertops was on the floor. I didn't have all the cupboards ransacked, but multiple ones were open. And some of the food products were knocked out. Like, and I had this huge, massive pantry. And that was definitely open, and things were shoved all around and some were on the floor. But it was just more, it looked like everything had been ransacked. But nobody broke in. Nothing was taken other than a few, you know, a little bit of food maybe. But there were no things that were taken. You know, we had at that time CD players and, you know, all kinds of expensive electronic equipment in these things. None of that was gone. If somebody was breaking into the house, that would have been the first thing that was taken. There was nothing taken of value. It just looked like it went in and just went through the house, the kitchen area. Nothing I noticed was out of place in the bedrooms at all. The dogs had hidden the bedrooms. It was just the kitchen area and the dining room was where the problem was. But the door went into the dining room, and then the kitchen was to the right of the dining room. But I haven't had a lot of problems with them destroying stuff in the house. They've come into the house a few times here. And other than, you know, the pantry doors open and some things are messed up in the pantry, I had a gallon of white vinegar that I used for cleaning purposes. And I hadn't opened it. And they had gotten that out of the pantry here and actually stepped on it. And when they stepped on it, it just shot the tap off of it and the vinegar went all over, but you could see where, you know, their footprint was because it just crunched the whole thing. It was crazy. And in the other house in Michigan where they walked around and they were out all the time, there was very seldom a time you couldn't walk out in the woods and find one there. And they would come in, you know, like I would be gone and of course I never locked the doors. And I would come home and there'd be these gargantuan muddy footprints in there. But they never destroyed anything at that house. The only thing they ever took was I had a package of those Muddy Buddies by Chex that you eat, and I had it on the counter, and everything else was put away. That was the only thing sitting on the counter, and I came home, and it was gone. And I looked all over and couldn't find it, and I eventually found the empty bag shredded and in the woods. So it's just been an ongoing process. Yeah, it's been an ongoing process. It's gone on my entire life. There's never been a time, never in my life, that they weren't around.
Well, and I know you have not been doing well in the last couple of weeks, and were they there for you?
They were tremendous. Everybody knows I'm always preaching about everybody using ivermectin to prevent COVID, and regardless of what the government and everybody says, it actually works. I was on the ivermectin through the first wave of COVID, and I never really got a chance to quarantine because of things that were going on. I was out in the thick of it. Never did I catch COVID. I have a compromised immune system, so I get everything. My immune system does not work, and I never got COVID, never, because I was on the regimen of every 2 weeks ivermectin. And then I ran out of ivermectin and could not find it, and I was almost a month and a half to 2 months without it, and that's when I got COVID. And I did not get a mild case. I was down 5 weeks, and I eventually now I'm back on the ivermectin. My friend sent me some from Texas, and another friend found some here, so I'm back on it, fortunately, and that is really what turned me around. But also, I got help from them. I mean, I really, as crazy as it is, and people don't really believe it, they, in certain cases, they will help. I mean, their laws say that they are not to interfere in our world with our people. But they do sometimes step outside, you know, those constraints, and they help. And they have literally, I had to quarantine in my bedroom. My husband had to move out in the living room to keep him safe. And they have nightly pounded on the wall of my bedroom, right where my head's at, or slapped the side of the house, or tapped on my windows. The one night I was laying down and they were chanting outside my window. And there's been a multitude of nights since I got sick that I've woken up and saw a head in the window. So they've been really protective, and, you know, they have been very helpful. Like they always are.
That's wonderful.
I mean, there's bad ones out there. I always make sure people understand that. With anything, I don't care what it is, there's good and bad. In the case with the Bigfoot, they are a human hybrid. They are part human. It's just a fact. It's what the DNA shows. I was part of Melba Ketchum's team. It was, you know, she did just an incredible, incredible job. She's an amazing human being. And, you know, it was proven exactly what I already knew. I simply asked them before I ever met Melba, before I ever heard about the paper, so I already knew what they were. But like with our people, you have really good and bad. You know, you have schizophrenics, you have rapists, you have murderers, you have pedophiles. They are part human. They have the same thing. So we have to always remember when interacting with them that primarily they are good. And they do have a deeper sense of love than what we do. But there are also bad ones out there. You know, I've been pretty fortunate. Have I interacted with bad ones? I've had to deal with bad ones, yes. Never at my home. Anytime anything that was slightly bad, I only had one time when they said that one wasn't overly nice, and they ran them out. Like, they threw rocks. They pelleted them with as big a rock as they could find, and they literally ran them off my property. So, you know, it's real comfortable here. My next door neighbor, they've walked through my yard and into hers and never hurt her or her family. So I've been pretty lucky. You know, the ones that stick around my house are normally really good.
Okay. And we appreciate that story. That's a very important story, that they have really treated you with respect and treated you and they've helped you, correct?
Yeah. I mean, and it's a give and take. Like, if they need something, they'll generally tell me, you know, and I'll try to get it for them and put it out there for them. When we first moved into the house that we have, the very first day we were here, I had the cable guy come out to install the cable. You know, it was DirecTV. And he showed up hours late, and then he kept saying, well, I don't have all the wires I need. I don't have all the wires I need. And I'm like, then go get it. Like, you're already late to begin with. This was supposed to be done. So he left, took him another 2 or 3 hours to go get wires that were 30 minutes away. He comes back. Now it's dark out there. So we turned on lights so that he could continue working. And he was only out there for about 45 minutes, and I knew that the Bigfoots were out there. They've been here since we looked at the house the first time we saw one. And he came in the house absolutely petrified. And I said, what's the matter? He says, there's something in the bushes. I said, it's probably a raccoon, you know, a possum, a squirrel, whatever. I knew what it was. And he's like, no, this thing was about 9 foot up in the air. And he said, I heard growling and the trees are shaking and the bushes are shaking. He's like, I can't be here. And I said, well, I don't want you fearful. You know, we'll just set this up, come back out, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning. He's like, okay. Well, instead of him coming out, another guy came. And I said, what happened to the guy that was here yesterday? And he just cracked up. And he's like, I don't know what went on out here, but he said he won't come. He flat out will not come out here. And the thing that was so hysterical about it is the guy had been outside and he said repeatedly, he didn't have the wires. Yeah, I don't have enough wires. I don't. And that was the verbiage that he used, is he didn't have wires. The very next morning, my husband got up to go to work, and when he went to open the door to go out the front door, there was this massive wad of wires. I don't know where they got it. I have no clue. It wasn't anything that went for cable, but this massive wad of wires had been not only put on our porch but pushed up against the front door. And Pat opened the door, and here's all these wires, you know, and all I heard was, we're sorry. So, yeah, they're pretty good. They get into mischief now and then. We had a situation with my garage door. They were trying to get in the garage. I have kennels in my garage and that I have my large dogs in, and then I have two mini pigs that have a kennel as well. And they love the animals. They absolutely, I don't have problems with them with my dogs. I don't have problems with them with my pigs or my cats. And I had left and went into town, and I came back, and the whole bottom corner of the door had been, I don't know if it was kicked in or pushed in or whatever, way in. And I was fortunate I could push it. I had to go into the garage, and then because I couldn't put the door up. And I was able to get it back in there and back in the track. But it literally popped it off the track with them trying to get in the garage. And then a few weeks ago, we had another instance where, you know, once it's down, we have it locked. So it's not coming up. And I think they probably tried to raise it, and they couldn't raise it. And so that's why they pushed it in. And then a couple weeks ago, we had a similar situation where they had tried to come into the garage. And they've been in the garage multiple times. I mean, it's not like it would, I would say it would be the first time. We've gone out there, muddy footprints all over, you know, things moved all around or taken or whatever, you know. So it's not uncommon for them to go in there. We went out there one day, and they had let every single dog out of the kennel. And I'm sure they were out there having a great time playing with them. You know, they never hurt any of them, but every single one of them were let loose out of their kennel. And I think there's...
And you've got a bunch of wonderful dogs, and I think Chester is my favorite one.
Chester is a pistol. He is, and you know what? We always laugh and say he's the Bigfoot dog because he can pick them up like nobody's business. And it's so funny because, it, you know, anybody that's ever seen Chester, Chester is a Shih Tzu Jack Russell cross. He's very, very small. And he's got red hair. He's red from top to bottom, except for a little white snippet on his head and on his paws. But for whatever reason, this dog's hair is all short except on the top of his head, and he has this strip that's like a mohawk. We don't know why he's like that. He doesn't look like the Jack Russell or the Shih Tzu. But he can go out in the woods, and he can find a Bigfoot in 2 seconds flat. He's really, really sensitive to them, and they love him. I think, you know, him and then, of course, our Great Pyrenees. They are obsessed with the Great Pyrenees. And they would, the dogs would go out in the backyard, and I have a fenced-in area. I have never in my lifetime just let my dogs run loose. That doesn't happen at my house. And so I have this huge fenced-in area, and they go out there and they play. And it got to where every time I go out there, I would find all these bizarres in my backyard. Flower pots, shoes, wood pieces. I mean, I don't even understand it. And the one day I walked through there, made sure there was nothing in the backyard, and the dogs were out playing, and I looked over at the Pyrenees, and she had what looked like a wood stake that she was carrying and trotting around the backyard, just having the best time with. And I thought, where would she get that? So I went and I got it, and I thought, well, gosh, this looks really familiar. What they had done was our septic tank, which is not in the fenced-in yard, by the way. It's a good, you know, 10, 12 feet from it. Had these wooden stakes outlining where the septic tank was. And I went over there, and I noticed they the foots had pulled one of the stakes out and tossed it into the backyard. There's literally no way the dogs could have gotten it because they've never, in the 5 years we've been here, have they ever had access to that, ever. And yet one of the stakes was in there, and she had a ball chewing on it and having a good time. So I just got into a routine where every morning when I would put them out, I would walk the perimeter and walk through the backyard to make sure nothing was actually tossed over the fence to them, because they would do it all day and all night. And there was nothing out there one morning, and I went in the house and I was doing some laundry, and I happened to look out the backyard, and here is the Pyrenees and another one of our dogs, and they've got a flipping 2x4, and this thing has to be about 5 foot in length. And I'm like, where in the world? So I go out there. I can't find any 2x4s off the deck missing. And yet these dogs have a 2x4. It was a weathered 2x4. I don't have any idea where the Bigfoot's got it, but there's nobody back there that can toss it into the pen. You know, and there was just nowhere that we have in the backyard for them to have gotten that 2x4. It was hysterical.
Wow. That is an amazing story, and we certainly appreciate that, because, I mean, where else could you get these stories but here on our special podcast?
And we've had them at night. All my dogs come in at night. I used to have an animal rescue, and we actually right now, due to my friend that does it with me between health problems with her and then me getting sick, we're not actively doing it right now. But at the time, I had kennels in my front yard, and the dogs, the newer dogs or whatever that would come in, they would get quarantined there. And we also had a feral dog that we had caught, and we're trying to gentle her down to find her a home. And she was out front, and I would lay in my bedroom, and I don't have, you know, everybody thinks I'm crazy. I don't have curtains on my windows. When I change my clothes, I go into the bathroom. I don't, because when I put curtains up, the foots pound on the wall. They'd like to be able to physically see me. And it's just something I've always done. The upper half of my house all has curtains and things like that, so they're not looking in up there. But, like, my bedroom, I don't have curtains on. I live out in the middle of the woods. It's not like there's a great many people that can see in here anyway. And I have an ensuite bathroom, so I just change in there. And I like to at night look out my windows, because they're walking around the yard, they're doing various things, you know, and we have things other than Bigfoot's here, and I can see them as well. And I would look out my window, and there was a big, huge white male. I mean, he was big. He had to hit 9 foot. And he would go out there in the kennel with the dog that was feral that we had caught. And you'd see him pick her up, you'd see him carrying her around the yard, whatever. And she was forever getting loose. I mean, it was constant she was getting loose. And I couldn't catch her. She had already been live trapped when we caught her, so there's no way she was going in another live trap. And she had gotten so big she wouldn't fit in one anyway. She was part Pyrenees. And I had said to them one day, I need help because she's not safe to be around people right now. She'll bite somebody. And I left to go into the grocery store. I came back, and she was in the pen, and they had taken the doghouse and put it in the doorway, thinking she couldn't get out. Apparently, they tried to shut the door, and I've actually had pictures of this on Facebook. The horseshoe, the part that looks like a horseshoe made out of steel, that you lift up and then you put it down on the pole on the door going into the kennel. They had taken that and they pinched the horseshoe shaped handle. They pinched it together. I mean, the amount of strength it takes, there's no one of our people that could do that. It's just not possible. And they pinched it together.
Okay.
And once they pinched it together, they couldn't use it as a door. And I think that's why they drug the doghouse in front of the doorway, thinking that would keep her in, which why it kept her in, I don't know. I think they tranced her because she was like laying in there and she was so lethargic and quiet. I'd never seen her that calm because she was always a nervous wreck. And so when I pulled in and I saw that she was there and the doghouse was there and the door was open, I pulled my car directly in front of that door. because I thought as soon as she sees me, she's going to try to bolt. She'll go over that doghouse and she'll be gone. So I pulled the car up in front of that door so she couldn't get out. And I got out and I looked at that and I'm like, this thing is pinched. You can't even shut the door. I had to tie it shut because of the damage that was done to it. But it was just a matter of they grabbed that and they pinched it together. It was crazy. Like I said, I had pictures all over Facebook about it. People couldn't believe it because, you know, those handles on those kennel doors are just so strong. You know, the newer ones have a different kind of latch on it, but this was an older one, and it had that horseshoe-shaped part that you flip up and then go down on the pole.
I'll tell you what, those it's amazing what you can experience with the Bigfoots, and I have experienced a multitude of things, and it's just really incredible and wonderful.
Oh yeah,
but I guess what I can say. Please go ahead.
I was just gonna say I just take it as a blessing. I really and truly do, because are there some bad things that have happened? Yeah, never at my house. When I've been sent to different areas, and I had there, you know, in times I've had to deal with the bad ones, I've been bluff charged, you know. In my defense, I got bluff charged because it was after the children that were with me, and I was not going to let that happen. So I kind of went between them and refused to move, and so I got a bluff charge. But I look at it, every bit of it is just a blessing, because I get to see a part of what's out there in this world that not everybody does. You know, there's a lot of people like me that have experienced these things, but not everybody does. And so I just look at it as a blessing.
Well, that's wonderful. And I tell you what, Robin, we have really enjoyed talking to you today. You know, to find out about your experiences. And let me ask you this, can we invite you back in another month and talk to you about more experiences that you've had? Well, that's great. And so this is Dr. John Stamey, and this is Robin McCray Haynes, and she is a wonderful Bigfoot experiencer, and we are so thrilled to have had her on here today. And so we'll see you next time. Because we're going to be doing the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference this fall. And, of course, we're going to be doing the Georgia Bigfoot Conference this spring on April the 16th. I had to make sure I got the right date. So, anyway, thank you very much for being with us. We love having you, and we will have you next time on the Bigfoot Conference day thanks a lot, and that's right, we'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye.